Please turn with me this morning to Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 6. Galatians, chapter 6. And I'm reading verse 14. Galatians, chapter 6, and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. My title is derived from the text. It's simply the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the text. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can take every book of the Bible, the 66 books, and you will find the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I would like just to give you a few examples before I come to the text, to show the power of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the power of salvation, the power of redemption, the power of justification, the power of sanctification. It's all juxtaposed there. It's there. You can see it for yourself. But as I said, I can give you just a few examples. If you take, for instance, the four Gospels, you have 89 chapters in just the four Gospels. But one fourth of these four witnesses is dedicated and devoted to the events that have taken place around the cross of Calvary. If you want a round number, 25 chapters on those 89 chapters are dedicated to the power of the cross of Calvary. If you take the Gospel of Mark, that is the shortest gospel of the four, you have 16 chapters. But six chapters in that short gospel are dedicated again to the cross of Calvary. You can do the same with Acts. You can do the same with Romans. You can do the same with 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And throughout the letter, I'm mentioning chapter 2, because there Paul said, "For I am determined not to know anything among you save the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ crucified. Nothing else." And Spurgeon, just a digression, Spurgeon was asked how would he sum up his ministry many years when he started to preach, even younger than 18, he started to preach. And he said four words, just four words, will condense all his ministry: Jesus died for me. So the cross again is really what we need to preach, what we need to hear about, and what Christ has done on behalf of sinners on that unhappy wood, unhappy tree. Now, as I come to Galatians, I won't have time to give you really the details, but you find at least 10 references, 10 instances. So it is a letter, really, that is packed with the presence of the cross of Calvary. Paul begins the letter with the cross of Calvary, chapter 1, verse 4, that there the Lord Jesus Christ was humiliated. He gave up himself. He gave up his spirit. He gave up his body. He gave up everything on that cross in order that we may be saved from this evil world. And now, as he comes to close his letter, it is as if, no, I must give them. I must write to the Galatians. I must write to every believer the importance of the cross of Calvary. And you can see in verse 11, it is so important that he says, I must write these things in big letters, so that you can see them, so that there will be an emphasis on the cross of Calvary. And as he comes to verse 14, he says, but God forbid, Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, the cross is the greatest saving power, but it is also the sweetest transaction in the human race, but for the greatest benefit. The cross is more powerful than all nuclear powers put together. Therefore, massive destruction, but the gospel and the cross of Calvary speak about salvation. A great number, Bible says, a number that no man can count. As numerous as the stars, the gospel of the Calvary and the cross of Calvary is the greatest rescue operation. The cross is the way to life. There is no life without the cross of Calvary. The cross gives us power over all our enemies. I hope nobody here, even if you are not a Christian, you know that you have enemies. But as Christians, we know we have enemies, strong enemies. That's why we should never have self-confidence. The flesh is our enemy. The world is our enemy. Satan is our enemy. Sin is our enemy. Death is our enemy. But we know Christ conquered death by the power of the cross of Calvary. No more power. The king of terrors, the one who frightens you and brings so much anxiety in your life and can make even your life miserable. But at the cross of Calvary, victory was won there, because on the third day, the Lord Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. Oh, death, where is thy power? Praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has overcome it. And no religion gives you such hope, such confidence, such assurance, but also such future. So the cross gives power over all our enemies. The cross is a school. Please allow me, before I come to the text, allow me just to again make you to marvel, even to wonder, why should such a great Savior, why should God even use the cross? You know, you can drown yourself. You can commit suicide. You can drink a poison. You can bring an end to your life in so many ways. But you cannot crucify yourself. Someone else must do that. But only Christ, only the Lord Jesus Christ could do that. The cross is a school. It is a school of light. It is a school of life. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 8 verse 12 said, I am the light of the world. My dear brothers and sisters, if there was enough light in this world, if there was light in this world, the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't have to come. But we live in a world of darkness. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about lights. I'm not talking about the sun. I'm not talking about just brightness or physical light. We are speaking about spiritual darkness and spiritual light. We were in darkness. If you are saved, you know how great your darkness was. If you are unsaved, yes, you may see, you may have your eyes wide open, you may enjoy life, you may have everything you need. But actually, the Bible says that we walk in darkness. And our minds, our hearts, the devil who is the prince of the power of darkness, is blinding, veiling, that we may not see the brightness and the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross is a school. You know, it is, we compare it as gallows. Gallows, a place of torture, a place of intimidation, a place of execution, a place of torture. But please, never think small about the cross. The cross was a throne. That cross on which the Lord Jesus Christ died was a throne. It was not just to shame him. It was not just to torture him. It was not just to bring agony upon him. But it was a place where he was on a throne. And on that throne he was not just wearing a crown of thorns, but I believe he was wearing a crown of gold. The golden crown was upon the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross. It was with the brightest diadem on that cross. With the most precious rubies on that cross. He was the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Even on that cross where he was suffering for your sins and for my sins, if you have ever believed on him. The cross was also the headquarter of the gospel. That's the headquarter. We sometimes speak about the headquarter of this mission organization, the headquarter of this place and that place. But the cross of Calvary was the headquarter of the gospel. Because from that cross, it is as if Christ was preaching the gospel to the whole world. How do you know that God loves you? How do I know that God loves me? It is by the cross. By the cross, I know that is the emblem and the expression of God's love for every sinner in this world. Of course, we are not doomed because God wants us to be doomed, but because we are sinful. We are wicked. We need salvation. We need purification. Otherwise, we only live in a kind of putrefaction. That's really our identity before the Holy One, before the God who is thrice holy. But the cross was also a battlefield. Do you imagine the cross as a battlefield? Oh, there all the powers of darkness put together were fighting against the Savior. But the cross was also an altar where Christ offered his sacrifice. Do you know one of the seven words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Christ said seven last words on the cross of Calvary, and one of them, it is finished. It is finished. It is paid, no more to pay. I like to read very often the letter to the Hebrews, and there is a word or an expression or a phrase that comes there so often, and it is said, once for all, once for all. Once for all. That's why we do not agree with the Catholic Church. Every Sunday, Christ is being crucified. Every Sunday, there is Mass. Every Sunday, there is an unfinished work given to the worshippers. But once for all, rituals, ceremonies, rules and regulations, traditions, nothing you can do. Good works will never earn you salvation. It is only by the cross of Calvary. Oh, the cross, we can spend really the rest of the day speaking about it. The cross is God's last argument for this world. The last argument. We can argue about many things, but the cross 2,000 years ago or more than 2,000 years ago, actually it's much more than that. Put 10,000 years, because from the beginning, the cross has always been in God's mind. It was not a plan B. It was not a last thought idea. It was not a last minute program. It has always been in God's mind. If you don't believe me, you read 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10. It is mentioned there. Revelation chapter 15. It is mentioned there. Titus chapter 1. It is mentioned there. In so many passages. It has always been in God's mind. Prepared before the foundation of this world. Before you were born, before Adam was created, it's all there for our good, the greatest benefit. All doctrines must find their way to the cross of Calvary. Please come to the verse.
Come to the verse. Galatians 6 verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world.
Christ's deity is there. He's God. People are asking, where in the Bible we find Christ is God? This is one passage. Our Lord Jesus Christ. He's there. His divinity is there. His incarnation is there. His humiliation is there. His crucifixion is there. Our justification is there. Our salvation is there. Our sanctification is there in Galatians 6:14. But also our glorification. There is no such a great news I can give you today. If you are a believer, you will one day be glorified, and you will be given resurrection body. You will be given glorification body. Yes, this body is going to die. It is weak. It is frail. It is so feeble. But we have a soul. And when Christ comes back, the Bible says that our bodies, new bodies, glorified and resurrected bodies, will be reunited with our souls. And that day we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. That's the promise given to us in the Bible. Why do you see I'm passionate about these things? Because no religion gives us such things. And this is not just to make us happy. It's to make us godly. It's to make us to love the Lord with all our hearts, with all our minds, to come closer to Him. But more than that, also to serve Him. What are we doing for the Lord? We know we are saved. If it's only to know that I'm saved and one day I will be in heaven, what's the point? While I'm still alive, I want to serve the Lord. I want to see others come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So all the doctrines must make their way to the cross of Calvary. That's why a Christ-centered life is a cross-centered life. A church that do not preach the cross of Calvary is devoid from its glory. It's devoid from its power. A crossless Christian is not a Christian at all. Come to the cross. That's the message we find in Galatians 6, verse 14. Oh, the cross is the zenith. It is the peak of all God's work. The cross brings revival in the church. You can study revival as you want. You will not find one revival which happened in history without prayer and the cross. Back to Calvary. Back to the cross, back to Christ being crucified, back to repentance, back to faith upon His work on the cross of Calvary. This is what brings joy in the life of a church. So we can really value what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. Calvary reconciles heaven with earth. Every blessing, every benefit from God to you and me comes through the cross. So, which means without the cross, no hope, no comfort, no salvation, no fellowship with the living God, no answer to prayers, no new nature, no new heart. So we must really appreciate what Christ has done on that cross of Calvary. The cross saves, it divides, but it also separates. Look at the verse again. Look at the first word. But the contrast, you see the contrast? But God forbid. We have the contrast there. Why is the contrast important? There are only two kind of people. The people who glory in the flesh and the people who glory in the cross. In verse 13, Paul mentions the flesh. And throughout Galatians, actually, the flesh is mentioned. So you either glory in the flesh or you glory in yourself. You either glory in the Lord or you glory in the world. You either glory in stuff or you glory in spiritual matters. So there is no middle ground. And this verse actually tells us what makes the difference between the Christian faith and every other religion. Paul did not put confidence in the flesh. Paul did not put confidence in Paul. He knew that. He knew that if he put confidence in himself, it's just vanity. But do you see that expression? But God forbid. God forbid. Out of question.
out of question. That's the meaning, really. There is no way that Paul or any believer should glory in anything else. Let it never be. Perish the thought that I will glory in nothing else. And Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory. The next expression is that I should glory, but God forbid that I should glory. There was a time, you know that, when you read Philippians chapter 3, there was a time when Paul gloried in himself. And there he will tell us, if I was to glory just in myself, he gives us his pedigree there. You cannot beat him. And he gives many, many things about his culture, about his race, about his tribe, about his knowledge, about his intellect, about his family, about his prowess, about his achievements. But all those things now he sees them as nothing in comparison to gaining the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, we live in a boasting culture. There are people, they cannot go through a day without boasting about something. They feel good about it. People boast about sin. People brag about their culture. They brag about their accent. They brag about their color. They brag about their church. They brag about their hymn book. They brag about their sincerity. They brag about their way of worship. They brag about their version of the Bible. You know, we all boast about something. When you leave the service today, please, can I ask you, deep down in your heart, what will you be talking about? Yourself? The cross? What Christ has achieved for you? The joy he brought in your life? Salvation? Children? What would you glory about? Your parents, your family, your good education? Parents? You know, there are parents who glory in their children. It's like their children are idols. They bow down before them. That's what makes me to be somebody. But you see, Paul says, no, God forbid, out of question. Leave it never to be the case. So much pride, so much pretension. But the third thing I want to put before you is the sanctification, the saving part of the cross of Calvary. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Save, except in the cross of Calvary. Because there I get forgiveness, I get salvation, fellowship with God. But please, I want you to look at the text. Because just a glance, you wouldn't appreciate it. He says there, save in a cross. No. Save in the cross. The only cross that matters. Any other cross is void. Any other cross is vanity. More than just an emblem, we rejoice in the person who was crucified on the cross of Calvary. But look at the text again. There is something more. Not just about the cross, but on that cross is not about a man called Jesus. Just a man called Jesus. If it was so, please remove this passage in your Bible. But it says, our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross didn't make him to be special. Do you know that? But he made the cross to be special for his people. So that instrument of torture and intimidation and agony, the Lord Jesus Christ transformed it and changed it to be an instrument of joy for you and me. What an important matter. No wonder every religion hates the cross of Calvary. Every religion, they hate it. And even some people in our own modern, so-called modern age, as soon as you mention the cross of Calvary, it is as if you have crossed the line. Don't speak about it. A atheism. Yes, people are eager to hear about everything, but not about the cross of Calvary. But the cross of Calvary is the greatest expression of God's love to this human race. It reminds us our shame. It reminds us our sins. It reminds us our pollution. It reminds us that we cannot do it by ourselves. We are not okay without the cross of Calvary. Sin must be judged because God is holy. And there on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price, the unpayable price. He paid it. And there is nothing we can offer to God because he is not in need. God gives everything. He gives us eternal life. He gives us heaven. Christ did it all. At the cross, he crossed out our sins. But my dear brothers and sisters, to glory in the cross means to glory in God. That's the meaning. Never separate those two things. To glory in the cross means to glory in God. It is to glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 9? He said, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31, this is a very classic verse. Paul says there, wherefore, whether ye eat or drink, and whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, in eating, in drinking. So check well what you put on your fridge. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, do it for the glory of God. Now, before I close, look at that last part, the sanctification part. The salvation part, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the sanctification part now. By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. This is Paul echoes what he said in Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. You can see that. It is the same as James chapter 4, verse 4. If you befriend the world, you become enemy of God. It is the same as what he said earlier in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. That I live now in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I was crucified on that cross. If you are a believer, you have already participated to your spiritual funeral. It's done, never to be done again. If you have come to the Lord in repentance, in faith, on the Lord Jesus Christ, then your funeral has taken place. So don't come to mind, it's done already. Christ gave himself for me. It is personal. So in the world, but not of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ said, there is a reciprocal dislike of the world. The world hates you as a believer. And in the same way, you must also hate the world. We love people. We want to see people being saved. But there must be a line of demarcation between the world and the believer. Unfortunately, still now, I know this is often preached behind this pulpit, but unfortunately, still some believers are asking, what is worldliness? What does it mean? I can have one foot in the world, and I can have one foot in the church. I can have one foot for myself, and I can have one foot for the Lord. I can, as long as it makes me happy, and I don't hurt anyone. No, this is the man who said, you can see it in the verse, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. My dear brothers and sisters, I'm almost at the end. When you see somebody going to be crucified, You see him going, but you will never see him coming back. This is a verse of assurance also. A believer will never lose his salvation, because that salvation has been achieved, accomplished, and fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep us, and we keep ourselves also. I am crucified unto the world. The world attracts me no more. I have tasted it. Its pleasures are only short-lasted, just for a moment, temporal. And this world has rejected the Lord. It hates us. It has no hold on me anymore. Is there a part in your life this morning, before you leave this place, is there a part in your life which does not belong to the cross of Calvary? Because it says, the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Is there a part in your service, in your life, in your heart, in your home, in your family, that you can say, no, this belongs to me, it doesn't belong to the Lord? Because once crucified, everything we have belongs to the Lord. I close with this. Paul saw the infamy. He saw the infamy of the cross as the greatest source of all blessings. So there are so many blessings for us as we study the cross. Calvary gave us an eternal and permanent redemption through the blood of the eternal covenant. The cross is our rule, Paul will say in verse 16. The cross is our peace. The cross is our redemption. We become the Israel of God. That's the meaning, by the way, that's the meaning. If you wonder why Paul is mentioning the Israel of God means the believers, Jews and Gentile alike, put together, becoming one in the church of Jesus Christ. So you become a child of God and you receive mercy. Sing the new song of the cross with bated breath and reverence and awe. Come to the cross daily. Christ said, take your cross and follow me daily. So we take our cross and we follow the Lord Jesus Christ daily. By setting us free from sin, the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to follow him. And as we follow him, it humbles us. And following the cross gives us an impact in service and in life. We gain zeal by remembering what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. So please, don't let anyone deprive you from the cross. May I suggest to you, as an ordinary preacher, once a week, read something about the cross. If you are anxious, if you have doubts, if you are downcast, or if you want to be encouraged, come to the cross and live for the cross. Let me read the verse again. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. May the Lord bless us. Let's sing together our last hymn, hymn number 470. Hymn number 470.